This week on Family Tech Weekly, who's going to win the parental controls battle? iPhone or Android? Hello, welcome to Family Tech Weekly. I'm your host, Michael Prince. Unfortunately, my beautiful co-host, Melinda, is not with us. She's in New York City, helping her sister move a little bit. Move apartments in New York City. Crazy, right? Well, they're doing that. And she'll actually be back tomorrow night, but this is kind of a topic we're going to cover today, the Android versus iPhone debate. Not what's better, but what parental controls does each thing offer out of the box. We're going to have that debate or conversation right now without her, because she doesn't really care. And so this is the kind of conversation that I can have with you. And the next time we get together and record something with Melinda, it'll be something more the three of us, you, me, and her, having a nice conversation about whatever crazy social media crap is going on out there in the world. But in the meantime, we're going to have this talk right now, just you and me. So first of all, check out becausefamily.org, familytechblog.com. You've probably already been there, and if so, great. Tell your friends, share with them when you see our episodes drop and our blog posts come. Share with your friends on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the places that you use this blog to help you learn how to protect your kids online. We're going to be speaking in several places lately, or coming up here. We're going to be in Bartlesville, Oklahoma in October. I'm going to be here in Missouri at Bradleyville and in Nixa, Missouri here the next couple months, and Branson, Missouri as well, speaking to some churches as well as some schools. And something that I really am trying to do that I want you to help me with, we've got kind of a project going on right now. If you go to my Facebook page, Michael Prince, my Facebook page, we're doing a fundraiser. There's also a link to it, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but there's also a link to it on every post on our familytechblog.com website. There's a banner ad over on the right-hand side on the sidebar for it. But it's a Facebook fundraiser to raise money to give some of our internet safety guidebooks to these families we're encountering at these school readiness fairs and these school-sponsored events that I'm going to. I'm running across many, many families whose kids have devices because a school system gives out a Chromebook or a tablet, or because they win it or they get it as an incentive for some coming to some training that a nonprofit in the area is doing, or they win it at a church function or something like that. They wouldn't normally have one, but they do because of this. Well, they can't afford to buy a $10 book to learn how. And so I'm trying to give these away, but they're not free for me. And so I'm asking people to sponsor them. We had 22 books sponsored at a school readiness fair I was in earlier this month. I was able to just hand out 22 books for free to people who were interested. Was very grateful to be able to do that. And they were there to get school supplies, shoes, and things like that. And I was able to give them this internet safety handbook as well to go with the rest of their school supplies. And so I just want to reach out to you and ask you to help us out. Click on that link in the show notes down below here to go to the Facebook donate page and maybe buy a book or two for a family who can't get it. They're just 10 bucks a piece. So do us a favor. That'd be great. So anyway, let's do this. Let's cover this iPhone Android thing. And again, I'm not debating like what is better to use or to have. I'm looking at the reality of what's available in parental controls and giving you advice depending on giving you the information of what each one will really offer you and letting you decide what you want to do with it. So don't get me wrong. Full disclosure, however, I'm an iPhone, iMac, MacBook Pro guy. Formerly a PC Android guy, I'm a convert. Probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I converted with an iPhone 4S from a Samsung Galaxy. And I just got tired of my cell phone breaking every 6 months. And I don't mean like dropping it. I mean just the software not working anymore. So I decided to go with an iPhone, and I've been pleased ever since. And so if I sound a little biased on one way, there's two reasons for that. The first reason is it's what I have, and so it's what I'm used to, and it's what I work with. So it's easy and second nature. I have tutorial videos at familytechblog.com. where I cover a lot of how to set up restrictions and use guided access and use family share on iTunes and just stuff like that. So I might seem a little biased in that direction just because of my familiarity with it, or because I trust it and I know it. But I've done a lot of research on what Android offers, and I'm going to give you that information as well. So I know there's other things out there. There's Kindles that are out there. There used to be Windows phones. That's not really an issue anymore, but we'll cover those kinds of things at a later date. Right now, I just want to cover the two most popular devices out there. So let's talk briefly about what you want to have parental control-wise on your phone. If you've done a workshop with me, you've heard all this. Whether or not you've done a workshop, it's important to know. So let me just cover. You want a filter. You're going to want a way to block bad internet sites and bad people from getting to your kids. You're going to want App Store control, where you can maybe tell them they can't download certain age restricted things, or where they have to ask permission even to download something. So either way, you're going to want some type of control in the App Store. You're going to want to be able to disable private browsing and see what they've been doing on the internet and see what their web history is. You're going to want to be able to maybe track text messages, that sort of thing. Track what apps they're using and how much time they're spending on these apps. You're going to want to give them permission to download or not download apps. Maybe you can disable certain apps. Maybe you can pause Wi-Fi, that sort of thing, and monitor web usage. Maybe another major thing is GPS. If you have kids that go out and about and they go do things, you might want to make sure that you are keeping tabs on where they are. And if that's what you're wanting to do, then you want to go ahead and keep tabs on that stuff too, on their GPS and track them. Sorry, I got distracted there, making sure I was using the right microphone. Anyway, here's some history on each one. First off, iPhone's been offering some sort of parental controls built in since their 3.0 operating system. They're now on 11, or they're beta testing 11. Most people have 10. And so it's been around for a while. It started off pretty simple with just a web filter, but now there's things where you can go in and you can learn how to do all this on my restrictions tutorial at familytechblog.com. But you can go in and you can tell it what apps they're allowed to use. You can turn off ability to use the camera. You can turn off location access. You can turn off a bunch of stuff like that. You can go in and tell it what ratings are allowed on every category, podcasts, movies. You know, control not what they see. They see everything in the App Store, but you can control what they're allowed to download. So they can't download an app that is over a certain age rating that you've given them, that you've allowed. So you can do that in there. You can, what else can you do? Well, there's something called guided access, where you basically lock down the device to that screen or that app that they're using. They can't back out. It's got time limits built in for that. And that's not a just set it and forget it sort of thing. It's a set it when you're setting them down to do something in particular. When we give our kids their math app for school, their homeschool, and we sit them down with that, we'll set guided access and they can't back out of that app. So that's available on iPhone. You are able to turn off the ability to delete history. You can turn off private browsing so that they can't get rid of any of the browser history from their internet usage. And like I said, App Store control is a big deal. You can turn off the ability to download and install apps. You can turn off in-app purchases, to where they can download new apps, but they can't buy anything in an app. You can also turn off the ability to, for them to have to basically ask you permission to download an app. You don't do that through the phone. You do it through iTunes and your iTunes iCloud accounts, but it's possible. And there's also a tutorial for this one at familytechblog.com. But you can go in and set it to where if they want to download, you know, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse app, and they click the download button, it doesn't just say, sorry, you can't download, but it pings your phone and says, hey, mom, dad, do you want them to download this or not? And so you can approve it and then they can download it, or you can say no and they can't. So that's something else that iPhone offers. I'm trying to think what else it is. I mean, I should have my phone here looking, but yeah, again, you can go look at how to set all that up at familytechblog.com. There's a lot of different options. You can track their location, share location through the messenger, the text messaging app. It's all built in right there. You can't do anything where you turn off data or Wi-Fi connection remotely. You can't really do that. You can't go in and see, you can go in and see app usage by using the battery usage statistics and the data usage statistics and things like that. You can see what they've been using their apps, what apps they've been using the most. So that's possible. You can set in a code to block them out of certain things, that sort of stuff. That's all built in to the iPhone. What's built into Android? Well, Oh, and the iPhone basically is set per device. That device has those controls set on it. So, and the reason I'm explaining it this way is because Android, we're about to kind of talk about now, Android has it to where you create a separate account for the same device, and the it's account based what these controls do. So if I had my phone and I give it to my kids, they don't have their own thing. An Android phone will allow you to go in and switch who's using the phone to their account. And your account has a different password, but theirs is a kid's account. And so they can go in and play the games and stuff that you've allowed under their kid's profile, but they can't do anything else. So the restrictions you've set are set in their profile. So that's a big difference between Android and iPhone. iPhone is one phone, one user. So if you give your phone to your kids, that's what makes guided access really good. If I'm giving my phone to one of my children, I'm setting guided access almost every single time, pretty much every time. I probably can count on one hand in 10 years of having a child and a cell phone, how many times I've given my phone to my child and not set some sort of block to keep it from getting out of the app. So I'm thinking, because I think today I did that, and no, I didn't, because they accidentally hit an ad and it wouldn't go anywhere because they couldn't get out of the app because guided access was on. So I did give my kids my phone because there's a little racing game they wanted to goof off with. Well, I can't turn it to their profile or do anything like that. It's set to my settings, what I want, what I need, but I can give it to them with guided access and then they can't do anything else. So that's something to keep in mind. If you want a phone that is multiple user device, iPhone's not your thing. The iPhone devices, iDevices, iOS devices are not your idea, what you necessarily want to have for your kids. If it's something that isn't necessarily theirs, it's yours, and you're just going to hand it to them, or it's theirs and only theirs, you don't have more than one kid, and you can just set all the settings for them, and they're going to roll with it, then it'll work just fine. And it's got some pretty good restrictions, like I've covered. So next, let's talk about what Android does offer. So you build, it's account-based. Like I said, you're going to do an email address, a Gmail address. And for that, I recommend something that they don't necessarily have to know much about. You know, just like ours is, we have like princekids@gmail.com or at iCloud.com or something. So with all the kids, they have one email address. They don't even know it exists. They don't know how to get to it. It's not like it's their email address. It's just what I use to set up their kids account so that they can use Chrome or my MacBook or whatever with their settings to filter out things and keep them safe. So that's what you kind of have to do in the Android devices. You set up their email address or an email address to represent them with their settings, and those settings last on that account, not just that device. That device can have multiple accounts with multiple settings. That's been available since Android 4.1, and now they're about to, Android O is about to come out, and I think that would be, oh man, I don't know if I'm right or not. I think that'd be the tenth version of the software. Am I right? Am I wrong? Let's see how many. How many Android operating systems have there been? Of course, I'm not getting a good quick answer. I'm wasting your time and my time, and I apologize. It doesn't say. I'm not finding it. If I don't find something, there we go. Oh, they're in 7.1 right now. So that was October of 2016, 7.1. Android O is coming. But yeah, so 4.0 ice cream sandwich, or 4.1 jelly bean, was the first one to offer the parental control setup like I'm talking about now. And they've added some things. We're going to talk about something that they've added that's kind of a big deal called Family Link, which is used along with this other stuff. So iPhone 3 or higher has had filters, App Store control, web history, viewing, and stuff like that. Disable private browsing. It's been giving you permission. They have the permission to download since iPhone 3. App disables, things like that. Android, however, since 4.1, has had a filter, so that there is a way to filter in the account that you've set up for your kids. You can filter. You can also set App Store control to where you go in and tell Google Play what like I was saying with iOS, you can tell it what age restrictions you want on all the content, music, movies, games, apps, everything. What's the highest age rating you want them to be able to download? And so that's available on Android devices that are running 4.1 Jelly Bean or higher. To my knowledge, you can't disable private browsing. If they're browsing, then they can turn on private. You can't track any text messages or anything like that, which you can't do that based on just iPhone basic settings either. You can set up to where they have to ask permission to download. That's been available since 4.1 as well. You cannot disable apps, to my knowledge. You cannot pause data or Wi-Fi, but you can now monitor web usage through iOS, from iOS 7 and higher, I believe. But now let me tell you about something that they just came out with not long ago called Family Link. Family Link, and I believe it's still in beta, so it's still kind of being tested, but or it's invite only at least. So you can submit to have them send you the way to log in and start using this. But Family Link is their idea to help you set up your kids' device usage remotely, kind of. So you can do this from your Android phone. You can also do this from your iPhone. There's a Family Link app for iPhone that'll let you control their Android phone, but they have to have an Android phone. I'm scared I got that wrong. I have to make sure. I have to double check. Family Link, Android or iOS. Okay, there it is. Kids can't use it. Can parents use it on iOS? Yes. Parents can use Family Link on iPhones running iOS 9 or higher. So they do have an app that lets you do that. I thought that was right. But you cannot set Family Link for kids' accounts or kids' iPhones. Family Link is an Android phone thing. So you can change the settings from your Apple device, but the settings will only apply to their Android devices. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. But here's what you can do. You can force them to ask permission to download an app. You can put their phones to sleep at different times. You can set bedtime and sleeping hours where the phone can't be used. You can pause it, you know, pause the ability to use things on the phone. You can see what apps that they've used the last 7 to 30 days. You can loosen search settings from the default safe search setting. So you can keep out adult content, stuff like that, and change the settings of safe search and go in and add whitelist things and things like that, which I talk about whitelists and blacklists on other videos that I've done. You can also set a new unlock code for their devices. So if they forget their unlock code, you can fix it for them. You can call the phone's ringer to find lost devices. You can set which apps get access to the camera or microphone and what do not, just like you can in iOS. There is no internet filter. There's a basic safe search filter for searching. There is no browser filter in Family Link. That's not available in Family Link. There's also no monitor or accountability thing. You can't go in Family Link and see their web history. You can see what apps they've used and how much time they've spent on them and that sort of thing, but you can't go in and see what the web history is or their search history, things like that. So that's what Family Link allows you to do. So to recap, Android, you can do a filter based on searches, you can do filters based on browsers. And here's the thing that Android really leans heavy on. Android really leans on the fact that the apps themselves have these filters. Some of these have these filters and safe search things built in. So if you're using Chrome, you can set up Google Safe Search to filter out inappropriate content. YouTube, you can set a safe search in YouTube. You can do that for several other browsers. And so they're wanting you to go in and use those tools, so they're not necessarily providing you with a one-size-fits-all tool like Apple's does, because I've tested it in a safe way. Apple's actually accidentally searching for statistic type things, you'd be surprised what filters block when you're trying to search for an article about sexting. That's why I have accountability software, not filters, on my computer, because I would never find anything for research on what I'm trying to write about, because it would block everything, because I have to search teen sexting statistics. Block. Anyway, so the I forgot what I was even saying. They want you to use the filters that are built in. Apple's devices, the filter covers Safari, but it also covers any other browser you're going to use. So if I use Chrome and I try to go to something dirty, it's going to block it. Or if I'm in Chrome and I click on an ad and it takes me somewhere that I didn't expect to go, that's not good, it's going to block it based on either your white and black lists that you've set up or the filter that's the basic adult content filter. And I have an adult content filter on my phone. The one that's built in to iPhone, and sometimes it won't load a YouTube video in Safari because something is in the you know, so it's not the best of filters. It's kind of all or nothing, but it's better than nothing. And so anyway, that's kind of the way that iPhone and Android give you tools. Now, here's the thing about those two things. Android is considered safer to a lot of people when you consider what you can add to the phone to protect them. Because there are a lot more apps that you can download and install that are going to protect your kids, that are going to cover the whole phone and either give you accountability on the whole phone or a filter on the whole phone, or they're going to block apps for the whole phone or lock the whole phone down to where you allow 4 apps only and nothing else. That's all available in the App Store, the Google Play Store. There's things there that'll let you do that. The thing is, it's just so wide open. That's the reason that's available. iPhone doesn't allow that because they're what they call their sandbox, which you've probably heard that term maybe. There's a sandbox that they allow the developers who write apps for these things, they allow them to play in this sandbox. Android sandbox is basically the whole backyard. Do whatever you want. It's an open source setup. So you can go in and change and do and look at and spy on or do whatever all you want and track whatever you want to do. Where iPhone's a very small, there's this giant playground, but the sandbox the developers are allowed to play in is right here. It's not the whole space. So because of that, you get a lot of times, arguable, but you usually often get more stable apps. You get apps that get kicked out of the App Store if they don't work right. You get apps that that maybe can't do everything that some Android apps can do because they don't have accessibility to some of these sandbox areas that Android gives them. So, but for this argument, for this conversation, we're talking about out of the box. If I want to get my phone, set it up, give it to my kid without downloading anything, which one should I buy? For my money, if I'm going to buy an Android or iPhone, I will buy an iPhone. And again, I said I'm a little biased. The main reason is I'm familiar with it and I know what I'm doing and I could go in and here it's safe and I trust that it's safe. The second reason is I like the small sandbox. I really do. I really think that though the developers of some of the accountability and filtering software out there are going to tell you that they prefer Android because they can play more in the Android to set things up for you, that's good. But out of the box, which is what I do a lot, is I set things up out of the box. Out of the box, I prefer iPhone. I prefer the settings, the restriction settings in iPhone. I like the ability to do family share. My kids aren't to the point yet where they're trying to download apps on their own. They come to us if they have an idea. Actually, that almost never happens because if they're playing on an app, they're in guided access and they don't see any other apps. They don't creep the App Store thinking of what they want to do. Every now and then they'll play on a friend's phone or something or a cousin and they'll say, hey, we want to get this app sometime and play it. Or they'll think of an app that they've played with before and wonder where it is and I'll have to download it again for them or something like Lego Star Wars. But usually it's not an issue. So for my money, it's usually going to be iPhone. If you're familiar with Android, if you have an Android and you're like, I know how to navigate it, then that's what you need to get. You need to get what you're familiar with and what you're comfortable with, because the last thing you want to do is take my advice and get an iPhone and know nothing about it and then get discouraged or frustrated and stop doing anything at all. That's the opposite of what you want to do. So my advice is if you don't know yet, or if you have an iPhone but you're scared because you've read NetNanny and Accountable to You and some of those guys say Android's better, if you're familiar with the iPhone settings pages, you need to just get an iPhone and use that. And then maybe add something to it if you want to later. But my recommendation right now would be go with what you're familiar with. Use it because you know it. And if you don't know either of them and you're just gonna start from scratch, FamilyTechBlog.com. I have a lot of iOS device tutorials. I can help you learn. You can also email me, becausefamily@gmail.com. It's right there. See, right there. becausefamily@gmail.com. Just send me an email and let me know what I can help you with. And let's get this done. Let's do something to set it up and protect your kids. You know what's funny? Is I was telling my kids today that Christmas is like 3.5-4 months away. And they're like, what? Because I turned on some Christmas music, because sue me. And so we're going to start talking about Black Friday, possibly buying some devices, that sort of stuff. So take this information, let it help you make a good decision. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this today. And I will see you next time. And don't forget to check us out at becausefamily.org, familytechblog.com, and patreon.com/becausefamily. And lastly, please click on the link below. And in fact, I'm going to put a little something in the video right... I'm bad at this because my camera's reversed. Right here, maybe I can get to you to go to my Facebook page. Remind you, go to my Facebook page. Click the link to go to my Facebook page and donate to buy some books for underprivileged families that can't buy these internet safety guidebooks that will help them make good decisions and protect their kids online. Thanks again for watching. You'll see Melinda next week. Don't worry, the pretty face will be back. She's more than that, but... anyway, God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Family Tech Blog at the, what is it today? What's this show? Family Tech Weekly. Thanks.